And he would preach to his church about the need to go tell the world about Jesus Christ. And he was told to sit down, young man. When God wants to convert the heathen, he'll do it without consulting you or me. That's what he was told. Well, at age 32, he wrote a book. And the title of the book is An Inquiry into the Obligation of Christians to Use Means for the Conversion of Heathens. It's not what I would have called it. It's kind of a long title there, but it became a bestseller. And the premise of the book is that God has given us the responsibility and the means to take the gospel to the other nations. And this book ignited a huge interest in world missions. And also at age 32, I think 4 months after this book came out, he himself, that's what he was told. Well, at age 32, he wrote a book. And the title of the book is An Inquiry into the Obligation of Christians to Use Means for the Conversion of Heathens. It's not what I would have called it. It's kind of a long title there, but it became a bestseller. And the premise of the book is that God has given us the responsibility and the means to take the gospel to the other nations. And this book ignited a huge interest in world missions. And also at age 32, I think 4 months after this book came out, he went to India to spread the gospel. And by the end of his ministry, he had more than 700 converts. He had translated the Bible into 6 languages. He had partially translated the Bible into 29 other languages. But he didn't finish because he's a lazy bum. I look at this and think, man, who am I? You know, what have I done? William Carey is considered the father of modern missions. And I wanted to introduce you to him and kind of, you know, show you this passion that he had, this drive that he had, and the difference that he made. He was not considered charismatic. He was not considered compelling. He was just a poor shoe repairman who was faithful. Just like the apostles were faithful. Just like St. Patrick was faithful. Just like Jim Elliot was faithful. Just like Hudson Taylor and so many others, because they saw what the Bible was saying about the heart of God and how he cares about all people. And he wants all people to hear the gospel. The text today is Psalm 67. We've been going through the Psalms, so we're in Psalm 67. This is considered the missionary psalm. And let me begin here, just the first verse. May God be gracious to us and bless us and make his face shine upon us. Now, let's just take this part right here and talk about the blessings. The blessings. May God be gracious to us. May God bless us. May God make his face shine upon us. This is our prayer. This is what we want. We want the blessings of God. And last week we talked about how God has blessed America. Blessed is a nation whose God is the Lord. And I want to drive that a little further. Why? Why would God bless us? Because we're so good? Because we're so lovable? Because that's his job? Why would God bless us? And I felt like I gave a solid answer last week, and then throughout the week I thought, no, that's not enough. My answer last week is because America sought God. Our founding fathers sought God. But now I want to ask you, what does that mean to seek God? If God blessed us because we sought him, what is that? What does it mean to seek God? It means to seek what his will is, and then to apply it, to obey it, to do it. And then that leads to the question, well, then what is God's heart? What is God's will? If we want God's blessing, and I hope you do, I mean, I'm sure we do, we want God's blessing, and that comes from seeking God and understanding what his will is, what is his will? The first verse, may God be gracious to us and bless us and make his face shine upon us. Why would he do that? Well, then you go to the second verse, and you discover this is why God wants to do this. Verse 2, that your ways may be known on earth, your salvation among the nations. And so I put these two verses together. I'm thinking, okay, this is why we pray for God to bless us, that your ways may be known. Bless us, that your salvation may be known. And when I see here that your ways may be known, Jesus says, I am the way. We've got to tell the world about Jesus. That is the heart of God. That is the will of God. This is why God has blessed us. We are a chosen people to declare his praises, is what it says in 2 Peter chapter 2. We are blessed so that we can share God's ways and God's salvation. If you're seeking the blessings of God, you've got to put that together and understand this is why we're seeking the blessings of God, so we can do the will of God. And then it goes on, and I want you to see the focus of this psalm here. May God be gracious to us and bless us and make his face shine upon us, that your ways may be known on earth, your salvation among all nations. May the peoples praise you, O God. May all the peoples praise you. May the nations be glad and sing for joy for you. For you rule the peoples justly and guide the nations of the earth. May the peoples praise you, O God. May all the peoples praise you. And so you see the focus of the psalm is not us. Lord, bless us. Be gracious to us. Make your face shine upon us. But it's not about us. Do all this so we can tell them, the earth, the nations, the peoples, all peoples. It goes back to verse 4, the nations, the peoples, the nations of the earth. Verse 5, the peoples, all the peoples. You see all that? I'm thinking, if you don't see that, this is what it's all about. Warren Wiersbe, he says the author of the psalm is unknown, but it was someone who had a vision for the whole world. All peoples, the earth, all nations. The word the earth, that means the inhabitants of the earth. All nations, that's usually a word in Hebrew referring to the Gentiles. And the peoples, the people. See, I remember like in third grade, you know, that I was taught people. It's people, not peoples. But then I see here, the peoples, all the peoples. I wish I could go back to my third grade teacher and say, no, you can say it plural. What does that mean? All peoples, the peoples. It's a people group. It's a term that's applied to it. When you're talking about all peoples, you're talking about all the people groups. I mean, a people group is larger than a tribe, but smaller than a race. I went to Africa, and I was amazed in Uganda that like every 5 miles, it was a different language. I found that to be very frustrating. Every 5 miles you go, it's a different language because it's a different people group. And then another different people group, another different people group. Very first, India alone has 4,600 distinct people groups. The people group can be is identified a bunch of different ways. They share a common language or a common religion or common ethnicity or residence or occupation. It's basically the largest group with a shared ethnicity or language in which the gospel can be shared. And then I was just thinking about America. Like, how many people's groups do we have in America? Do you think, are you comfortable? Can somebody from Alabama actually share the gospel with somebody from New York? I mean, are those two different people groups? I don't know. And I don't know if that's helpful to even say that. I don't know. But you got the earth, you got all nations, you got the peoples, all the peoples, the peoples, the nations of the earth, the peoples, all the peoples. May God be gracious to us and bless us and make his face shine upon us for them. May God bless us for them. And this is a theme throughout the Psalms. You can read so many of the Psalms. Psalm 57, verse 9. I will praise you, O Lord, among the nations. I will sing of you among the peoples, plural again. Psalm 96, verse 3. Declare the glory among the nations, his marvelous deeds among all peoples. Psalm 117. Praise the Lord, all you nations. Extol him, all you peoples. It's over and over and over again. And not only in the Psalms, you see this in the New Testament, where Jesus says, my house will be called a house of prayer for all nations. For all nations. This is the heart of God. Matthew 28, this is what Jesus says. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations. Acts 1, verse 8, you will be my witnesses to the ends of the earth. Have we missed this? Do we not see this? The focus is not us. Those who know his will, the focus is on them. Those who don't know, because they need to know. so they can praise God, so they can be blessed. And you focus a little bit more. This is what you see in verse 4 here. May the nations be glad and sing for joy. May you rule the people justly and guide the nations of the earth. God's focus is the nations, the peoples, all peoples. God's goal is so they will be glad because they know him. They'll be glad because they'll be blessed by him. And once again, this is a message throughout the Psalm. Psalm 67, verse 4, may the nations be glad and sing for joy. Psalm 97, 1, the Lord reigns, let all the earth be glad. That's a helpful verse right now. Psalm 47, verse 1, clap your hands, all you nations, shout to God with cries of joy. Why be glad? They're glad because they know his ways. They know he rules justly. They know he will guide them. Psalm 16:11, you have made known to me the path of life. You will fill me with joy, with eternal pleasures at your right hand. They're glad because they've come to know his salvation through Jesus Christ. And I want to give you some more verses. I wish I had put these up there. I didn't do that. I was just too lazy this week. Through Jesus Christ, this is where our joy comes from. Do you understand? We are glad, we are blessed because of Jesus. Jesus says in John 15, verse 11, I've told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. Jesus wants to give you joy, and it comes from knowing God. It comes from knowing God's ways. It comes from knowing God's salvation. John 17, verse 13, I'm coming to you now, but I say these things while I'm still in the world so that they may have the full measure of my joy within them. Matthew 25, Jesus says, well done, good and faithful servant. Come and share in your master's happiness. The angels, the Christmas story, the angels, when they went to the shepherds, what did they say? They said, do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy. And that's what you and I do. When we use the blessings of God to bring salvation to the world, hello, I'm here to bring you good news of great joy. So you will be glad. So you will praise God. Gladness and joy come from knowing God, knowing Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. Through Jesus Christ, that's where all the blessings come from. The forgiveness of sins, the gift of the Holy Spirit, God's love, God's presence, God's compassion, God's power. Just a relationship with God. All because of what Jesus Christ has done for us, removing our sins. And this is what the world needs to know. So you put it all together. I really think this is a really simple message here, but it took me a while to see it in the psalm. But you put everything that we just said together, bless us, O Lord, so that we can make known your ways and your salvation. So they will be blessed. So they will be glad. So they will find joy. So they will praise your name, God. Or a more simple way to say this here, we who are blessed, may God be gracious to us and bless us and make his face shine upon us. We who are blessed are to tell others about our great God, the ways of God, the salvation of God, which is Jesus Christ, so they can be blessed. So may the nations be glad. John Piper says the goal of missions is the gladness of people in the greatness of God. That's what it's all about right there. And okay, so now it's a simple message. Now what are we going to do with it? In the application of two things, to understand God's heart is for all nations. If you think God's heart is just you, that's what narcissistic, is that the right word? Pretty egocentric, that's pretty vain, it's just stupid, okay? That's what that is. God's heart is more than you. It's everybody. It's all nations. 1 Timothy 2, 4, he wants all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of truth. And we need to know that. We need to understand this is his heart. This is his will. And if this is his heart and this is his will and we're seeking God, it should be our heart. It should be our will. John 3, verse 16, God so loved the world. You know that. More than just America, more than just Israel. The whole world. He wants the whole world to know about him. 2 Peter 3, verse 9, the Lord is not slow in keeping his promises, as some understand slowness. He's patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but wanting everyone to come to repentance. Repent and be blessed. Repent and be glad. Repent and find true joy that only comes from knowing God and following God. So first of all, we got to understand the heart of God is all nations, all peoples, all the earth. That is the heart of God. That is what our Lord and Savior wants. He wants them all. The second thing you need to understand is he has blessed you so that you can make that happen. Your prosperity is for missions. Are you a blessed person? And I hope you would think, you're pretty blessed. Most every person in this room is blessed more than most other people in this world. We have been blessed with the means to live a good life. But you got to put that together. The reason God has been gracious to you, the reason God has blessed you, is so that you can tell others about him. Your blessings are for missions. The reason God has been gracious to you is so that you use these blessings to tell others. The reason we pray, may God be gracious to us and bless us and make his face shine upon us, is so that we can, get this, so that we can go to Haiti. Put the picture up there. I got a picture. I think the first picture I got here is the group. This is a group right now, and everybody changes. It might be different people in there, but this is a group that's planning on going to Haiti when December 30th through January 9th. And why are they going to Haiti? Because it's going to be fun. I went to Haiti. It wasn't fun. That's why I'm not going back. But it was fulfilling. Taking care of the orphans, we took an orphanage of like 73 kids that really had nothing. I mean, absolutely nothing. They come to a shelter house to get one meal a day, and we got to feed these kids. And my heart breaks for these kids. And then we went to feed the orphans, or the widows, these widows who have nothing. And we gave them all like 50 pounds worth of food. And I asked somebody how long the food would last, and somebody says it depends on how many people they're taking care of. You know, one widow, she might, her food might last a day. Others might last a week. But they'll take their food home, and they'll feed their families, they'll feed their neighbors, they'll feed their friends. It won't last that long. So we're sending a team so they can take care of the orphans, so they can take care of the widows. So we can show them the ways of God. So we can tell them about the salvation of God. So they will know. So they will be blessed and be glad and praise our Father in heaven. And then we're sending a team to back to Arizona. You know, one team just got back from Haiti earlier this year. One team just got back from Arizona this year. Now we're sending another team to Haiti. Now we're sending another team to Arizona. And I understand there's more people. I think Neil's going to be a part of this group and Caleb's going to be a part of this group. Going to Arizona, and when our team came back from Arizona, I was asking everybody, how was it? They hated it. But most of them are going back. Why are you going back? Because we have to. We have to. Those people have nothing. Our people were broken over how broken they were. Seeing kids living in sheds, seeing kids living in three pieces of plywood, seeing kids living in cars with all the windows were broken out, broken glass everywhere, and this is their home. This is their bedroom. So they want to go back. They want to make a difference. We at one time, we were trying to entertain an idea of buying a couple of FEMA trailers and setting them up to try to bless some families there. But too many government regulations, and we couldn't figure out how to get around all that. But the reason they want to go back is so we can try to do something to give them a proper place to stay, a healthy place to stay. They're trying to build churches, trying to build a home for the pastor who's trying to bring the gospel there, so they will know the ways of God, so they will know the salvation of God, so they will be glad and be blessed and praise God. Why are we doing these shoeboxes out here? It had a big packing party yesterday. Why are we doing that? Well, hopefully, because these kids who have nothing, they'll open these boxes up, and they will be blessed. And hopefully through it, it'll give the missionaries an opportunity to explain about Jesus Christ, and to tell them the ways of God, and tell them about the salvation of God. Each one of those packages is an opportunity to bring the gospel into a family's home, so they will be glad and be blessed. And turn to God and praise God. While we do an Exit Zero, same thing. We're trying to look for an opportunity where we can tell people about Jesus Christ so they will be glad and praise God. Our church is getting involved in starting a foster home, getting ready to open up in about a month, we hope. A foster home to take care of children who have nothing. And those foster children will be worshiping here every Sunday with us. And it's going to cost a lot of money. It's going to cost a lot of time. But you know what? That's what God has blessed. God's blessed us with time, and God has blessed us with money. What else would we use it for? This will give us an opportunity to bless these children. So hopefully these children will grow up to praise God. Well, turn to the back page of your outline if you got an outline. And one more thing I wanted to throw in here. We talked about William Carey. I wanted to share with you about America. Last week we talked about America is blessed. America has been blessed by God. Blessed is a nation whose God is the Lord. That's what we focused on last week. And I shared with you last week about the pilgrims. And when they got off the Mayflower, they wrote, "For the glory of God, the advancement of the Christian faith." The Mayflower Compact. For the glory of God and the advancement of the Christian faith. When they came here, they were intentional. This is what they wanted to do. And how were they going to do this? And part of the answer there is mostly through planting colonies and initiating missions among the American Indians, which they did with minimal success. And what I read, nothing really lasting, sometimes doing a lot more damage than good. But their heart was to share the gospel, right? And then the church has kind of stumbled on something here. For the people to know the ways of God, they need to know how to read so they can read the word of God for themselves. So churches were very instrumental in starting schools. They started schools so children could learn to read. They want children to learn to read specifically so they would read the word of God. And this was pretty successful. I also have in my notes here, the Roman Catholics were more aggressive, more ambitious, but they encountered major setbacks. So what began in America for the glory of God, for the advancement of the Christian faith, ended with most pioneers just trying to survive, just trying to make it another day. They didn't have it in them. They didn't have the means. They were tired. There was nothing left to tell others about Jesus Christ. Until about the 19th century. And the years I have is between 1789 and 1984, or 1914. 1789 and 1914. So it began shortly after the American Revolution. Something changed in America. 1810, the American Board of Commissioners for Foreign Missions began. It began from a haystack revival, is what they called it. These people got saved in a haystack. Weird, I know. But the American Board of Commissioners for Foreign Missions, it began much because of William Carey's book that I told you about. There was excitement about world missions. And not only that, the world was changing. The steam engine was invented, therefore the steamboat was invented. And then you got the railroad. Listen to something I saw here about the railroad here. Reverend Dr. Morgan Dix ascended to the pulpit in New York to announce that the extreme borders of our land have been joined and brought nigh together in a pathway open between remote parts of the earth, both for the commerce of the nation and for a highway in a way whereby the gospel may have free course and the holy name be glorified. Have you ever heard that yet or before? Have you ever heard that? The railroad, the churches saw the railroad. This is a blessing from God. This is an opportunity for us to take the gospel to more people. The Reverend Dr. Francis Vinton, he said the completion of the amazing new railroad as an occurrence of of cosmic significance. When we contemplate this achievement, we can hardly realize its magnitude as means under divine providence for the propagation, for propagating the church and the gospel from this, the youngest Christian nation, to the oldest lands in the Orient, now sunk in paganism and idolatry. The church saw the railroad as an opportunity to take the gospel to the world. And in 1916, the American Bible Society. In 1824, the American Sunday School Union. 1825, the American Tract Society. 1825, the American Home Missionary Society. 1851, the Young Men's Christian Association, the YMCA. Each one of these has a story. There was no state church making this happen. It was all the churches working together as it should be, making all this happen. Well, I really want you to see here, in 1900, there were approximately 13,600 foreign missionaries in the world. 13,600 foreign missionaries in the world. 5,900 of them were British. 4,100 of them were Americans, which means 80% of all the missionaries in the world were from Great Britain or from America. because they recognized God's blessings and they were committed to sharing the gospel so other nations could be glad and sing for joy and praise our Father in heaven. Let me ask you before we get out here, let's take this home to you. How are you using the blessings of God, the material blessings of God, to make his ways known, to make his salvation known? Do you recognize you have been blessed by God? What are you doing with those blessings? Take inventory. What are you wasting versus what are you giving? What are you spending in luxuries versus what are you spending in ministry? What do you spend for dog food and for junk food and for Christmas decorations versus what are you spending to spread the gospel? And I wrote this down. A tithe is a great start, but why stop there? Nothing says you can only give 10%. Okay, just wanted to put that out there. 2 Corinthians says you have been made rich in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion, and through us your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. If we work together and we use the means that God has given us, we do this together, we can advance the gospel. We can change people's lives. We can make a difference. And they will be blessed, and they will be glad, and they will praise God. Acts 20, verse 35, in everything I did, I showed you that this kind of hard work, we must help the weak. Remember the words the Lord Jesus himself said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Do we understand that? Do we believe that? It's more blessed to give than to receive. So my challenge to you today is prioritize ministry over leisure. You know, we all want to relax. We all want to have fun. We all want to, you know, indulge ourselves now and then. But you need, I beg you, as a church, as God's people, to prioritize ministry over leisure as a way of life, as a worldview. Not saying that you have to live in poverty and be miserable, but let's be more intentional about discovering the heart of God than doing it. Doing what God wants us to do. He wants to bless us so that he can use us to bless others. So take inventory and then do some reflection. Are you blessed? I asked that question already. Are you blessed? How are you blessed? Why are you blessed? Think about it. Why are you so blessed? I bet you if you think about it, you give that 10 minutes. Maybe give that an hour this week and think, why am I so blessed? If you really think about it, I think it would be a very humbling experience because you don't deserve it. But you expect it because we're Americans. God can take all that away. Why are we so blessed? And then I would ask you, take action. How can you use your money, use your time, use your talents, use your stuff, your car, your home, your computer, your basketball to bless others so they may know the ways of God? Remember what the Bible says, faith without works is dead. Let's put this into action. Let us be faithful. William Carey, he wasn't charismatic. He wasn't compelling, but he was faithful. Let us use our blessings to advance the gospel. Let your light shine so they may see your good deeds, so they can praise you. No, so they can praise our Father who is in heaven. So they can praise our Father who is in heaven and be glad. Let the nations be glad in God, in all of his blessings. To your